Blog Talk Radio.
To follow, not lead. To suffer, not prosper. To despair, not drain. I'd start with energy. I'd cut off America's supply of cheap, abundant energy. I couldn't take it by force. So I'd make Americans feel guilty about using the energy that heats their homes, fuels their cars, runs their businesses, and powers their economy. I'd make cheap energy expensive, so that expensive energy would seem cheap. I would empower unelected bureaucrats to all but outlaw America's most abundant sources of energy. After banning its use in America, I'd make it illegal for American companies to ship it overseas. If I wanted America to fail, I'd use their schools to teach one generation of Americans that their factories and their cars will cause a new ice age, and I'd muster a straight face so I could teach the next generation that they're causing global warming. When it's cold out, I'd call it climate change instead. I'd imply that America's cities and factories could run on wind power and wishes. I'd teach children how to ignore the hypocrisy of condemning logging, mining, and farming while having roofs over their heads, heat in their homes, and food on their tables. I would never teach children that the free market is the only force in human history to uplift the poor, establish the middle class, and create lasting prosperity. Instead, I'd demonize prosperity itself so that they will not miss what they will never have. If I wanted America to fail, I would create countless new regulations and seldom cancel old ones. It would be so complicated that only bureaucrats, lawyers, and lobbyists could understand them. That way, small businesses with big ideas wouldn't stand a chance. And I would never have to worry about another Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, or Steve Jobs. I would ridicule as flat earthers those who urge them to lower energy costs by increasing supply. And when the evangelists of common sense try to remind people about the laws of supply and demand, I'd enlist the sympathetic media to drown them out. If I wanted America to fail, I would empower unaccountable bureaucracy seated in a distant capital to bully Americans out of their dreams and their property rights. I'd send federal agents to raid guitar factories for using the wrong kind of wood. I'd force homeowners to tear down their own homes built on their own land. I'd make it almost impossible for farmers to farm, miners to mine, loggers to log, and builders to build. Because I don't believe in free markets, I'd invent false ones. I'd devise fictitious products like carbon credits and trade them in imaginary markets. I'd convince people that this would create jobs and be good for the economy. If I wanted America to fail, for every concern I'd invent a crisis, and for every crisis I'd invent a cause, like shutting down entire industries and killing tens of thousands of jobs in the name of saving spotted owls. And when everyone learned the stunning irony that the owls were victims of their larger cousins and not people, it would already be decades too late. If I wanted America to fail, I'd make it easier to stop commerce than to start it, easier to kill jobs than create them, more fashionable to invent success than to seek it. When industries seek to create jobs, I'd file lawsuits to stop them, and then I'd make taxpayers pay for my lawyers. If I wanted America to fail, I would transform the environmental agenda from a document of conservation to an economic suicide pact. I would concede entire industries to our economic rivals by imposing regulations that cost trillions. I would celebrate those who preach environmental austerity in public while indulging a lavish lifestyle in private. I'd convince Americans that Europe has it right and that America has it wrong. If I wanted America to fail, I would prey on the goodness and the decency of ordinary Americans. I would only need to convince them that all of this is for the greater good. If I wanted America to fail, I suppose I wouldn't change a thing. If I wanted America to fail.
I used to rule the world, see it rise when I gave the world.
Well, good evening, folks, and welcome to another hour of the C. Robert Jones Situation Report with me, your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. I'm chuckling because of, some stuff I'm reading in the chat room here on Blog Talk Radio's website, some good stuff going on there. There's a lot going on in the news today. A lot of stuff happened today. But we're going to touch on just a couple of things because I know you already watch the news. You already know what's going on. And if there's something specific you'd like to discuss, you know, you're free to call in 347-884-8500. And you can talk about it. But, the big deal is the bipartisan budget deal that was reached, which is, I guess, good for some and bad for others. Like myself, it's bad for me because I'm a pensioner with the United States government. You know, I spent 31 years as a United States Marine from the age of 17 onward. And, one of the the great selling points of staying with the military was that at the end of 20 years, you were welcome to retire with just over half your salary, and of course all the medical benefits that you could stand. And a few other things thrown in. And so that was the biggest selling point when I was a young Marine. Stay in, and at the end of 20 years, you know, you could retire and, you know, live happily ever after and all that. Well, basically the pension has been drawn down a bit. And I'd like to get into details, but I'm not sure we're going to really have a lot of time for that. A deal has been reached, and there were other cuts that could be made. And I'm not sure, you know, I think that a lot of Democrats are going to lose their seats next year. But I also believe now that this budget deal has gone through and Obama has pledged to sign it, that there are going to be a few surprise Republicans who are going to lose their seat. The Tea Party will undoubtedly be out in force, and there'll be a few changes in the Republican Party as well. I do believe that we'll come out on top, of course, and there's a lot of stuff happening today. Hope and change. 2014. New Obama advisor compares GOP to Jonestown cults. That's interesting because I was comparing my friend Max to the Jonestown cult, where a charismatic leader steps in and promises the whole wide world. He says that we collectively can do this and collectively we can do that. And the Reverend Jim Jones was all about socialism, Marxism, and share the wealth. And indeed, the move to Jonestown was pretty much all about that, with he as the leader, the director. And of course, as many of you know, I helped to edit a book by my good friend Leslie Cathy, who wrote the book "Slavery of Faith," and you can look for that book online almost anywhere, and you'll find "Slavery of Faith." Leslie is one of the few survivors of the Jonestown Massacre, carrying her little boy, her little baby, on her back through the jungle for more than 60 miles. To reach a point where she could be free. After this is all while the Kool-Aid drinking is going on, where and then folks who refuse are being murdered. Leslie managed to slip away and escape to freedom. But the GOP is certainly not about collectivism and, you know, all of that stuff. And so to find that that this hope and change thing that the Obama advisor is comparing the GOP to Jonestown makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But that's what's going on. John Podesta was just named the new senior-level advisor to President Obama last week. But he's already ruffling a whole lot of feathers. Yeah. Yeah. The 1978 cyanide poisoning of more than 900 of his followers in Guyana, Jim Jones. I go on to read his quote. They need to focus on executive action, given that they are facing a second term against a cult worthy of Jonestown in charge of one of the houses of Congress, end quote, said Podesta, of what Obama's White House team faces. So they're going to go with executive action in order to get around the Constitution and Congress, because according to Mr. Podesta, the House, which is made up of the representatives of the people of this great nation, are acting like Jim Jones followers. And so in order to get around Congress and the Constitution and all the checks and balances and all that stuff, all that pesky, inconvenient stuff, they're going to go to executive action. So that's interesting. But what everybody's talking about, everybody in the whole wide world is talking about, is what Barbara Walters said on a Piers Morgan show. So we'll go ahead and get that clip ready for you. Here it is. Check it out.
You have interviewed every president of my lifetime. Why is Obama facing so much opposition now? Why is he struggling so much to really fulfill the great flame of ambition and excitement that he was elected on originally in 2009?
Well, you've touched on it to a degree. He made so many promises. We thought that he was going to be, I shouldn't say this at Christmas time, but the next Messiah. And the whole Obamacare, or whatever you want to call that, Affordable Health Act, it just hasn't worked for him, and he stumbled around on it. And people feel very disappointed because they expected more. It's very difficult when the expectations for you are very high. You're almost better off when they're low, and then they rise and rise. His were very high, and they've dropped. But, you know, he still has several years to go. What does he have, 3 years more, Piers? And, you know, there will be a lot of changes when things in that time.
Okay. Barbara, you shouldn't... Perhaps Barbara shouldn't use the word Messiah during any time of year, least of all Christmas, referring to a man, President Barack Hussein Obama. We've heard this Messiah label placed on him from the time he entered office until, well, today. Remember the painting, the infamous painting of Obama riding on an ass? An ass riding on an ass down the streets of the Pennsylvania Avenue, wearing a sackcloth and a crown of thorns on his head. Remember that? There's an actual picture of it somewhere. He's been compared to Jesus Christ, Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, and FDR. And he's been compared to all of them all at once. And Superman. Don't forget that. He's been compared to Superman. But most notably, throughout Obama's tenure as President of the United States, he's been referred to as the Messiah, godlike, messianic. All of these terms have been used to describe this man. And what I find galling is that, obviously, he's none of that. He seems barely bright enough to issue a speech, utter a speech without the use of a mechanical device called a teleprompter. He seems to be unable and inarticulate. He seems to not be able to get his message across without the aid of that device. And I find that it's very hard to sell brilliance on a man who can't seem to memorize a speech. If that were the case, then men like FDR and John F. Kennedy and almost all of the presidents of the early 20th century on back would be found to be inept. I mean, how would they ever get their message across? One president in particular, we call him Abraham Lincoln, from Kentucky, he claims. Illinois, but he's actually from Kentucky. The brilliant speeches he gave, and brevity is the soul of wit, and most of his speeches were quite brief, were written down, and the notes were placed in his hat. Marines call it a cover, in his hat. And he gave these brief speeches, and most of them were memorized, and it was just fantastic. But the label of brilliance and all of that. It's just unknown. I don't know. So now Cal Living is in the room, and Flycast and a whole host of folks, Evil Clown, Alexander Solo, I Am John Galt, Swing Easy, and a whole lot of folks. Robert, let's look at what race is playing, placing all those titles upon Obama, if truth be told. What race is placing all these titles on Obama? I don't know. I mean, I never gave that really any thought. Who is labeling Obama the Messiah and messianic? You know, as much as I decry some of the failings with regard to our president on so-called African Americans, a title I refuse to use to label on myself, I don't think they would quite go that far. And so Flycast has answered the question. The white race has labeled President Obama the Messiah. And Barbara Walters, this happens from time to time when you stay in the limelight just way too long. I mean, I don't know. She's 70-something years old, 80, close to 80. When you get to a point in your life where you just – have been around just too long. You know, a famous my singing performing idol, Frank Sinatra. He just stayed around too long. He performed too long. His voice was shot, but he went out and he sang anyway, and folks loved him. God bless him. They loved him anyway because he was Frank. But here we have another case of just staying around too long. Barbara Walters said that you heard her remark that Obama has another several years to go as president. He's got barely three, and he'll be done. But I think Flycatch in the chat room has put it succinctly and put it rightly. White guilt is destroying our nation. White guilt is destroying our nation, and I've said it so many times on these radio shows and other places that the white race has basically, what they have done is they have hired an affirmative action president. It doesn't matter what his credentials were. He could have been a graduate of University of Illinois. Wouldn't have made any difference. You know, he speaks well. He wears a nice suit. He's got some charisma. He lies his ass off. And he does it well. Well, that's all you really need for a politician, right? And so he fit the bill. But there's nothing brilliant about the man. There's nothing intellectually stimulating about anything he's said or anything he's done. Now, I can tell you with a straight face and with all honesty that I have met the man. I have stood in front of him. I am from Chicago. I'm from the south side of Chicago. And I've met him once. Quite frankly, I wasn't impressed with the guy, and I'm being completely honest with you. He had a limp-wristed handshake. He didn't look me in the eye when he spoke to me. One of the things my father taught me as a young child, look a person in the eye when you speak to him and offer a firm handshake, the firmest you can give. He did neither of those, and those two things alone caused me to discount the man. So the question is, has the cult of Obama seen its first media apostate? When false gods are seen to fail. Now, what I'm reading to you right now is from the American Thinker, December 18, 2013, Barbara Walters on Obama. We thought he was going to be the next Messiah. So if you want to go along with this, with what I'm reading here, just go ahead to the American Thinker and look for Barbara Walters on Obama. We thought he was going to be the next Messiah. All right, so it goes on to say that when false gods are seen to fail, their believers turn against them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've seen that happen. We've seen that happen in both real life and in The Wizard of Oz. Remember that movie? I can't keep going back to it because Frank L. Baum, when he wrote The Wizard of Oz, he was actually writing about real people, politicians and such, who promised the whole world but could not deliver, and that the people actually had the power within themselves all along, and that they didn't need some false idol or politician to help them along. That's really what that book was all about. But shh, don't tell anybody. They just thought it was about a cowardly lion, a tin woodsman, and a straw dude. So, but let's go on further. How many times have we seen it? Mussolini, Hitler, and so on and so forth. Not comparing Mr. Obama to any of those folks, not just yet. Well, in some ways, he's like them, but he hasn't killed anybody here yet that we know of. He's fond of those damn drones, though, where he's knocking folks off in other countries left and right, and he's even bragged about how good he is with the drones, even though he's probably never actually seen one. But, I mean, like, actually stood and seen one. But here we go. True believers turn against their so-called messiahs. There seems to be the beginning of something like this happening to Barack Obama, who promised to halt the rise of the oceans and bring us together. In a stunning confession of media bias, Barbara Walters, discussing Barack Obama, admitted to CNN's Piers Morgan, and you heard it, he made so many promises. We thought he was going to be, I shouldn't say this at Christmas time, but the next Messiah. What the hell was she thinking when she said that? No, she shouldn't have said it. She shouldn't have said it at all, ever, especially at Christmas time. How could you do that? That is just, I mean, is it just dumb? It's got to be the dumbest thing. And she's never going to live it down. It's like that dude at MSNBC who said that when listening to one of Obama's speeches that he got a thrill up his leg. What kind of man, even if he did get a thrill up his leg, would actually admit it from listening to the sound of another man's voice? Well, I'm sure there's some men who would, but I don't know any of them, and I thank God for that. But I'll tell you, not that there's anything wrong with that, but Barbara Walters said, we thought he was going to be, I shouldn't say this, at Christmas, and then she should have halted and said, well, I'm not going to say this. And then, like, edit that out and then say, we thought he was going to be the next great president or so on and so forth. Why would she come out and say, I shouldn't say this at Christmas, but the next Messiah? What is there supposed to be a next Messiah? Because it's my understanding that there was only one, and his name was Jesus, and Jesus is supposed to come back for his third act, his third and final act, if I'm not mistaken, and set things straight. So is Barbara Walters suggesting that she thought that Jesus was going to come back in the form of a big-eared black dude who could barely say his own name without the aid of a teleprompter, and he was going to be Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, and set things straight? Did she actually believe that President Obama was Jesus Christ come back in the form of a Muslim, a black man? I mean, it's appealing. It's an appealing thought. Is it not? Come on, Barbara. This is what happens when you get really old and you don't know what the hell is going on and you start saying really wild, crazy stuff. I don't, I, I mean, this is the show tonight, folks. There's so much going on in the world. So much going on in the news today. But this is what we're talking about. Barack Obama being viewed. She said, wait a minute now. She said that we, who the heck is we? Can we play this one more time? Yeah, I think we should. Let's play it one more time. Just for fun. Let's listen.
You have interviewed every president of my lifetime. Why is Obama facing so much opposition now? Why is he struggling so much to really fulfill the great flame of ambition and excitement that he was elected on originally in 2009?
Well, we've touched on it to a degree. He made so many promises. We thought that he was going to be, I shouldn't say this at Christmas time, but the next Messiah. And the whole Obamacare, or whatever you want to call that.
All right. She said that we thought that he was going to be the next Messiah. Who is we? Her and her husband, her and her neighbor across the street, or is she saying the media thought that he was going to be the next Messiah, or who, I don't know, maybe she'll clarify. Let's
to a degree. He made so many promises. We thought that he was going to be, I shouldn't say this at Christmas time, but the next Messiah. And the whole Obamacare, or whatever you want to call that, affordable health.
She said it with a straight face. I'm looking at the video here. She actually says this with a straight face.
It just hasn't worked for him, and he stumbled around on it. And people feel very disappointed because they expected more. It's very difficult when the expectations for you are very high. You're almost better off when they're low and then they rise and rise. His were very high and they've dropped. But, you know, he still has several years to go. What does he have, 3 years more, Pierce?
3 years and several years are not the same thing. Several years? He's got 3 years. Is he going to become the Messiah that they expected in the 3 years? Because I can't imagine the Messiah lying through his teeth and saying that if you like your health care, you can keep it, knowing that it wasn't true. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. If you like your... I can't imagine Jesus Christ coming back for the third act, the third and final act to set the world right, and starting off with socialized medicine, the Affordable Care Act, and raising premiums, folks being taken off their insurance, cancellation notices going to the tune of 6 to 7 million so far, a botched website. You would think that the Messiah, that Jesus Christ, could put a decent website together. I know I'm making light of it, and perhaps I shouldn't, but I'm not going to make the mistake of Barbara Walters. When I say perhaps I shouldn't, I'm going to stop right here and not. Because I need to learn from Barbara Walters' mistake. If you shouldn't, if you believe you shouldn't, then don't. Because Barbara did, and she shouldn't.
And, you know, there will be a lot of changes when things in that time.
All right. So the word of the day is if you believe that you shouldn't, and you say to yourself, perhaps I shouldn't, then don't. Okay? Don't. Just imagine someone of Walter's stature actually admitting that she and others expected Obama to be the next Messiah. Quite a thing to say. On the very day, a new poll found this president having the lowest approval rating since my main man and yours, Richard Milhouse Nixon. I cried during his funeral, by the way. Cried like a baby. It's also worth noting that This came the day after the Washington Post said Obama was responsible for three of the top 10 biggest lies of the year. And 5 days after PolitiFact awarded him the lie of the year. And that's rough even for a politician. The lie of the year. Not what the New York Times says. It was a misspoke. No, he lied his ass off. And so many of you bought it. I know I didn't. Oh, no. I didn't. So let's contemplate all of this. A lot of chatter going on in the chat room. Obama was placed into office to negate the white voter. And it worked. However, now the white youth are turning their backs on him. Indeed, Flycatch writes that in the chat room. Oh, crazy, man. Crazy. All right, so we're going to take a short break. Yeah, we are. And then we're going to come back, and we're gonna talk some more about all of this. It's crazy, man. Great. Barbara Walters. Now, what have we learned here tonight, folks? If you say to yourself, perhaps I shouldn't do it, just stop. Otherwise, you're bound to do what Barbara did, and that is make an ass out of yourself.
So the reason Key said that Jesus Christ wouldn't vote for Barack Obama was because of Obama's fanatical support of abortion to the point of condoning infanticide.
You can't handle the truth!
Political correctness gone wild.
I see dead people.
These aren't really good reasons to suggest that he's scared, only that he's stupid.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
You are cock-blocking. You are in the way.
I'm looking into trying to get a rooster that doesn't crow.
Are you going to trust me or your lying eyes?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, I believe in the principle that you pay as you go.
Obama was, in the words of Louis Farrakhan, C-elected before he was E-elected. There's a rhyme in there somewhere.
Why so serious?
And I laugh out loud with glee at every opportunity I'm standing in the grocery line. Ha 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 ha.
Okay, hey.
I'm doing the laundry. Ha. Oh, I'm walking the dog. I was napping. I went. And it's all because of the news today. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care?
This is David Graham of Stay Mad Radio. You're listening to Dr. C. Robert Jones and the Situation Report every weekday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Snow. Apple cider warming on the stove. Tinsel twinkling everywhere. Holly hanging on the stairs. It must be Christmas Eve. Angels sitting high upon a tree. Watching over presents patiently. Milk and cookies on a plate. Santa Claus is on his way. The kids should be fast asleep. But sleigh bells are ringing in their heads. Twisting like little tops in their beds.
Hoofs tap, tapping on the roof.
Yeah.
Peeking out the window to see what they can see. It's a candy cane Christmas, sweet as it can be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I love that song. My goodness. I love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Okay. Now, there's something I didn't mention earlier when we were talking about Obama being the Messiah. You know the History Channel series, The Bible? There's a big write-up in that all across the globe, folks who – I mean all across the globe, not just in the United States, about the character who plays – well, the Satan, the devil. The actor and the devil himself looks the spitting image of Barack Hussein Obama. Watch the show or go to the History Channel's website and look at the dude who is playing the devil, Satan. Looks just like Barack Hussein Obama. Somebody was having a little fun there. Because there was nothing but denials all over the place that, no, it wasn't meant to be that way, or no, he doesn't look anything like the president, blah, 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 blah. Look for yourself, and there are pictures, side-by-side comparison pictures between the guy who plays Satan, the Satan character, and Barack Obama. I tell you what, they look exactly the same. Like the Satan just looks a little older. The picture of Satan on his side looks a little older, a little more weathered. But they're the same dude. But so Barbara just went too far, folks. She went too far. She went way far. Okay. Oh man. Walters did not seem to be taking any responsibility at all for her embrace of a false messiah. You know, I think, but I, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't know if this has anything to do with it or not, but it just came to me. Barbara Walters is Jewish. So, I'm going to do what Barbara didn't do, and I'm just going to stop. So, she didn't take responsibility. She seems to lament Obama's mistake in overselling himself and takes no responsibility for the buying. Because so many people were saying that, oh, Mr. Obama, oh, he's so brilliant. He's the smartest man in the room. And I was actually on a panel just before Obama took office, when he was president-elect, with another group of black folks, you know, in Washington, D.C., on the WHUR radio station, where one of the panelists sitting next to me referred to President Obama as brilliant. And then he went on to state that President Obama's IQ was off the charts. And, of course, I challenged the young man. I said, well, how do you know that? I mean, it's to my knowledge, you've never even met President Obama. You know, at least I can say I met the man. But how do you know that President Obama's IQ is off the charts and that he is brilliant? I pointed out the fact that his college transcripts, Occidental, Columbia, Harvard, are all sealed. How do you know how brilliant he is? I mean, what facts do you have to support that? Well, of course, when caught like they usually are, they hem and haw and stutter, and then they kind of go off subject, which is what the young man did. There's an interview of it on YouTube somewhere. I'll have to dig it up. But as it turns out, Barack Obama has a respectable IQ of right around 125, 130, which is just slightly above average. So him being brilliant and his IQ being off. But this is what I'm saying here, folks, is just an example of how early on Obama was built up to be a lot more than just an ordinary man, just a politician. It's very difficult when the expectations for you are very high. You're almost better off when they're low, and then they rise. This is I'm quoting Barbara Walters, so I'll start it with a quote. Quote, it's very difficult when the expectations for you are very high. You're almost better off when they're low, and then they rise and rise. His were very high, and they've dropped. Well, whose fault is that? You know, even a narcissist and egotist like Barack Hussein Obama didn't go around all the time talking about how smart and how brilliant he was. Not all the time. No, it was white voters, it was black voters, and it was the media. The media built him up, and those sycophants who surrounded him, who were building him up as being this brilliant man, this messiah, this messianic figure. And we've talked about this many times on previous Blog Talk radio shows, where folks were building him up to be a godlike figure. Early on in his first year, folks were across the globe were saying that President Obama was not – he was bigger than the presidency. He was bigger than the American presidency, and that he was, in fact, the president of the world. He was the world's president. Does anyone remember that at all? I do. Confession is good for the soul, Miss Walters. To label the president of the United States the Messiah, that she thought that he was going to be the Messiah. That she thought that... You have to either you're just, I don't know. Maybe the collective left can be forgiven. Maybe they can be forgiven for placing all their trust in candidate Obama. Indeed, when he was running for president in 07 and 08, he did make all sorts of campaign promises that the vast majority of progressives believed. They believed it. They trusted him. When he later didn't deliver on many of them, including the, quote, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it pledge. Although in fairness, that came later. The party of change became the party of disillusionment. Mm-hmm. So to be fair to Ms. Walters, I don't think most true leftists felt or feel Barack Obama was actually the Messiah, evidenced by their hostility toward Christianity and Christmas and everything Christian-like. Remember when Barack Obama visited my alma mater, it's Georgetown University, and his people demanded that all signs of Christianity be covered over. In fact, the very hall where President Obama gave a speech in his first year, the crosses and Christian symbols were covered over with tarps. And subsequently, the following year, I ceased donations to my alma mater, and I have yet to resume, because they shouldn't have caved to the president's demands. It's a Judeo-Christian school. I mean, if you are true to your beliefs, you say no to this and turn the president away if you need to. Because after all, he is just a man. But I don't believe that most Democrats actually believe that he was messianic, that he's a messiah. No, they wanted everyone else to believe it so that the agenda would have a much easier pathway to fruition, so that Obama could fundamentally transform the United States of America. It would make it so much easier if folks perceived Obama to be messianic, that perhaps he was sent here from another place in time. Perhaps it would be easier for us to accept change that we could possibly believe in, you know, much like the story of, you know, putting a big old fat frog in a pot of cold water and putting him on the stove in the pot of cold water and then gradually turning up the heat just a little. Frog don't know what the hell is going on. He's just swimming around in that pot wondering, where am I going in this pot? I can't go far. Until the next thing you know, he's tits up and taking on water. That's what's happening here. That's what liberals wanted here. They wanted us to be mesmerized. They wanted us to sit in that pot of cool water and just say, wow, this is some nice cool water. Until the next thing you know, we're floating belly up because we believed in the hype. Obama has so much in common with the story of the emperor having no clothes, the emperor's new clothes, that story. He has so much in common with the Wizard of Oz. He has so much in common with the rise of Hitler, Benito Mussolini. All of these folks have so much in common. I'm not suggesting that President Obama was Hitler-esque or that he was on that level at all. What I'm saying, what I'm trying to get through to folks is that all of these folks made grand promises to their people. They lied. They made outlandish claims. They made promises that they knew that they either could not keep or were not going to. And they led their people down the path to ruin. And just like I told you about my friend Max yesterday, she's a former police chief. And a very smart woman. But yet, that's her man, President Obama. I try to make arguments and say, well, what has he done for you? What do you like about him? What policies do you approve of? All of them. Well, name one or two. She refuses to do so. I'm not really into all that. She's one of those Kool-Aid drinkers. She's following this guy right over a cliff, and she's doing it because she thinks he's cool. She's doing it because we need to support, as she says, a black president. Why? Because he's black. Really? We need to support this dude just because he's black, even though we may not agree with his policies? Or we need to support him and agree with his policies because he's black? He's the first black president? So I'm supposed to follow this dude blindly and, like, support him? Yeah, no. But here we are, folks. And what's lovely about all of this is that America, it's not too late. Because as Kevin Jackson of the Black Sphere has written about in his blogs and on his website, America will self-correct. Check out Kevin Jackson and the Black Sphere, his website, www.blacksphere.com. And he has a show on Blog Talk Radio. He wrote that America will self-correct, and in fact, we're doing that. It's just one election too late. but we are self-correcting. Flycatch writes in the chat room, Obama removed the bust of Churchill from the White House, and that was by design. Of course it was. Of course it was by design. And then Flycatch, they attempted to lie their way out of it and spin it, and then they got caught because one of the White House aides admitted that they did it because Obama had issues with Churchill because Churchill did something to one of his relatives way back in the day, or Churchill was one of Churchill's policies had something to do with Kenya and all that. But they try to spin it and say that, the bust was just on loan and it was time to return it and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Well, folks, we're gonna continue. You know what? We're gonna continue this Barbara Walters, Obama Messiah thing. Unless something really good, I'm talking just earth shaking, happens tomorrow, we're gonna have to come back. We're gonna have to come back to this tomorrow. We just don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to finish this off properly. So with that being said, thank you so much for listening to the show tonight. We're just about 3 minutes to go. Thank you so much for listening tonight. There's so many things that you could be doing with your time, and you came in to listen to my show, and I so appreciate it because you didn't have to be here, and you're here, and I love it. And thank you so much. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America. And we'll be back tomorrow, 8 p.m. Be there or be square. Remember to call in. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. We are out. OUT. Good night, folks.